We stood looking at each other, measuring each other. He was an interesting study. Dropping for the moment, I said, our differences of purpose and ideal, and speaking merely as two minds, equal in brilliancy, he interrupted. Speaking as two minds, I continued, will you not tell me why you played upon my love for the world, my willingness to sacrifice myself for the world, in your attempt to win me to your standard? What else could I play upon? Surely I must have some fault, some hidden sin, through which your subtle mind could have thought to reach me. Oh, he said, I am too wise to tempt you through your hidden faults, for you are determined to conquer them. You could not be thrown off the track that way. Only those young on your path are easily conquered through their faults. The greater souls we attack through their virtues. Continue, I said, for you truly interest me. It is said in the world, he went on, that there is more than one way to skin a cat. There is also more than one way to get rid of a worker for the teachers whom you follow. When we cannot deflect a worker through his evil passions, his hatred, anger, avarice, lust, jealousy or fear, we are sometimes able to weaken him through his good passions, his love, his loyalty, or his self-sacrifice. Thank you for your confidence, I said. And now I will wish you good evening. As I passed along the line I murmured to myself, truly is the serpent more subtle than any beast of the field, and man needs all his wisdom to stand against him. May 1st. Letter 36, The Lusitania. This letter was written on the 7th of May, at 10:30 a.m., New York time, 1 hour after the sinking of the Lusitania, and 9 hours before the writer knew of it. And still they press forward against us, the menacing powers of darkness and evil, seeking to vent their rage against the world and to glut themselves on the blood of the slain. I have not been near you for a few days because I have had no time. Did you fancy that I had escaped time? Not yet. Had I escaped time, I could not speak thus to the world in the grip of time. Had I quite transcended space, your room could not hold me. During the 6 days that you have not seen me I have been here, there and everywhere in Europe, even in Asia have I been, for the attack is worldwide. A little while ago I told you that we had driven back the forces of evil. They have rallied and come forward again, not quite as strong, but more desperate and more frenzied. They seek now to embroil the United States, and the whole continent of the old dead race that fed them on blood by magical rites ages ago, that continent where the new race has to be born when this prolonged labor is over. Had I remembered the law of rhythm I should have known that the tide of evil would flow back again, and that we should have to struggle with it a second time. It may even now gather fresh force and renew the attack, a little weaker still. The evil beings whom we have slain are slain, they can trouble us no more for a time, but the slain are few beside the many still active. Help us with your thoughts. Many of our friends in the world have staggered and grown weary during the last few days. Do not you. As thy day, so shall thy strength be, O world that we struggle for, and for which we shall win in the end the crown of peace and brotherhood. As I have said before, the world is in the throes of an initiatory ceremony. The trial by water, the trial by air, the trial by fire, all these must the world go through before it can take its place among the initiates of the stellar hierarchies. There is no drawing back now, and the world must not fail. Should it fail, there would soon be a vacant place in the circles of the zodiac. But the world will not fail. Again have I met with the evil being of whom I wrote at the beginning of these letters. He is lashing himself in fury now, drunk with the power of his place. Ere his hour draws near, he is hot to assert himself. The climax is approaching, and if I visit you less often than before, it is because I cannot leave my place so often. Never falter in courage. Your faith shall be the evidence of things still unseen, as it has been before. This second struggle with the powers of darkness will leave us stronger and leave them weaker. I know many things which I cannot tell you, for you are not strong enough to receive them, but remember this, the law of rhythm holds, It is the law of laws, and after this storm will come a corresponding calm, after this agony a rest in the quiet of love. When hate has spent itself, then love can have its way. Do you not hate, but stand steady, merely withstanding attacks. Do not waste your strength. It will be needed by and by. If we use you sometimes as a material base on which to plant our etheric feet for a greater spring into space, remember that you offered yourself for the service of the world, and the service has been accepted. This is no time to talk of reward, but the law of justice is behind the world. So far as possible, strengthen those who suffer too much, and we will strengthen you. The angels you saw last night are the bodyguard of the master's servants. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. I will give you a formula for use in time of stress and storm. Reach up to the indwelling spirit and repeat, for her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. It is only in contact with mind, with desire and with matter, that the spirit struggles and suffers. In its own home all is peaceful and pleasant. Reach up to that home when the storms are too loud, and you will find a place of silence. Do not let go your hold upon the body. You could no longer be used as a material base should you loosen your hold on the material, and those who come to live altogether in the astral world just now have a hard time at first. Be calm and poised and sure. Be not a quicksand but a rock. That is all for the present. This little time of writing has rested me as well as you, and I will return. May 7th. Letter 37, Veiled Prophesies. If you were less easily startled, less easily thrown out of the negative condition in which only you can take down my words, less easily thrown back by shock into your normal objective consciousness, I could have told you yesterday that the Lusitania had gone down, instead of merely hinting at disaster. You are quite right always to stop the writing the moment your own brain begins to work, but you can see that it limits us in the giving of definite news. We were near that ship when it went down, several of us, including the one whom we call the beautiful being. Hold steady now. That is the only advice I am offering you, save only to remain in America for the present. The good you could do in England now is outweighed by something else which you will understand before the middle of August. If you look up the letter in which I told you that a great being of thought had passed along the German line telling those who could understand that their cause was lost, you will see that I said to watch for the result. The result is this desperate and frenzied attack everywhere by that nation. May 15th is a significant date. No, I tell you no more than that. The powers of good will not fail. You will have disturbing news from Europe before long. Hold quiet through everything. We have done and are doing our best. Thank you for what you have done for my friend and pupil. Also, there is another thing you can do for us. There is much that you do not understand, but that we understand. The road of initiation is a hard road for all. Love one another, you who try to tread it. It makes the way easier. May 8th. Extraordinarily verified on the 14th of August. Editor. Date of the reception by Germany of the United States note on the sinking of the Lusitania, and also of the demonstrations in Italy which precipitated the entry of that country into the war. Editor. 2 ed. Note, the 3 asterisks here note personal correspondence that was not published in the book. The above 2 footnotes are part of the book. Letter 38. Advice to a scribe. You can be of more use to us if you do not allow yourself to be crushed by the sadness of the world at this crisis through which the world is passing. Each day rise to the plane of the spirit, above the physical world, beyond the desires of the astral world, beyond the lower stratum of mind, up and up to the source of all life and all wisdom. Set apart some time every day for this exercise. Use the Hebrew formula which you have used before, and use it with power, in connection with the yoga practice in which you are versed. The combining of two systems makes for strength, because it avoids the limitation of too closely identifying the self with one race or one period. Occult development, occult power, is of all times and all races. The knowledge of the new race about to be ushered in will include all the systems of the past, taking from each the special thing in which it surpasses the others. Do not sink again into that slough of depression from which I called you this day. It is not necessary for you to die 1,000 times in order to know death. It seems to me that you have gone deep enough into the woe of the world. Now rise to a corresponding height. Your sympathy will be no less tender if you do not die of sympathy every day. Your real work comes after the war, when the world can and will listen to the teaching of brotherhood. Do not perish beforehand is my advice, and the advice of my teacher through me. The teachers are very grave in this crisis, but they are not crushed to earth. They know that after the storm comes the calm, and their faith has survived. In the awful depression in which you have been sunk for the last few days, how could you help anyone? It is not for you to ask help from others, but only from us. You know where we are. It is for you to revive the drooping spirits and the drooping faith of those who have not received the assurances which you have received. This letter is not a reproof, but a lesson. I would not have you retire to a selfish peace above the tumult and stay there, forgetting the world. I do not forget the world. I work by day and by night. But what help could I be to these war-shocked souls that come out here should I weep when I encounter them? No help at all should I be. Instead, I seek to strengthen them with my strength, to encourage them with my hope. I do not mean, when I say that your work begins after the war, that you can do nothing now. Far from it. You can do much, in both worlds. But if you die of the wounds you behold out here, if you are caught yourself in the whirlpool of despair, how can you draw others out of it? I cannot repeat too often that this war is the world's initiation. It will be a new and enlightened world which will rise from the ashes of the old one, a phoenix of a world, and I want you to rise with it. The agony cannot endure forever. It is too intense just now, which means that the climax is approaching. When I told you that the issue was settled here, I did not mean that the war would end in a day or two. Study cause and effect. Study the rise and fall of everything according to cyclic law. The tidal wave must spend itself on the shore before it subsides again into the sea. Be calm. Keep faith with those whose task it is to uphold the faith of mankind. When you say that you want to suffer as long as the world suffers, you are speaking as our pupil, and we would not have it otherwise. But remember that one may be strong in suffering. We would not have you shirk the experience, but master and use the experience, instead of letting it master and use you. In regard to America, did I not tell you some time ago that there was an American on guard tonight, old Abraham Lincoln, who renounced heaven that he might watch over and guard the land he died for? Rest in confidence on that assurance. The other countries that you love are watched over also. And another country which you do not love is watched over, lest it wander so far that it cannot find its way back into the fold of human brotherhood. There are souls in that country who are keenly aware that she has gone as far as she safely may without becoming an outlaw among the nations. There are even Germans in America who know it. If I named a few of them, you might be surprised. It is well that Germans in America should feel the American repudiation of this latest piracy on the high seas. Let them feel it to the quick. They can learn in no other way. Do you fancy that in writing through your hand this book to be published after the war, I am impressing my thought only upon you? I am impressing others besides you. A few days after I wrote you that Abraham Lincoln was on guard, a newspaper cartoonist published a drawing of the ghost of the great Lincoln standing behind President Wilson. Did you think it was a mere coincidence? It was not a mere coincidence. I impress my thought, and the thought of the masters behind me, on other minds than yours. I am a worker in the astral world. To impress the minds of men is one of the duties assigned me. I go here and there where I am needed, but I have not written anywhere else as I have written through you. I have tried to, but with very indifferent success. An accurate amanuensis between the worlds is rare. They have to be trained to distinguish between the thoughts of the dictator and the thoughts of their own minds, objective and subjective, also between these and the thoughts of irresponsible entities who like to have a finger in the earthly pie. You wonder why I do not tell you more stories? I will tell you a story on my next visit. May 11th. Letter 39, one of these little ones. The story I have to tell you is a sad one, but we are writing of war. It was 3 days after the Lusitania went down. Leaving the plains and hills of war-harried France, I had come out across the waters to serve where service was most needed at the moment. Drawing near to the scene of the disaster, I met a child soul who wandered up and down looking for something which it could not find, a girl child of maybe a dozen years, with troubled and bewildered eyes. "Can I help you?" I asked, taking her by the hand, so that she ceased her restless moving to and fro and paused with me. "I have lost my mother," she said. "Where is my mother?" "I do not know," I answered, "but we will look for her." It is not always easy for a bewildered soul to find in the astral world another soul whom it seeks, though it is sometimes very easy for a calm soul to find another. As on earth, the one we look for with turmoil in our hearts seems to be held away from us by invisible hands. Passing along with the child, I met many others equally bewildered. All were looking for someone or for something. "Why are we here?" asked the child. "I thought we were going to London." "Do you not know that you have been drowned?" I asked. "Did I really drown when I was in the water?" "Yes. I thought it was a dream, for I have been asleep." "Yes, you have been asleep, but the drowning was no dream." "Then where am I?" "You are in the other world." "The other world? But I thought the other world was heaven." "Heaven is also in the other world." "You do not mean that I have gone to the bad place?" "No, you have not gone to the darkest place," I said, "and you will find your way to heaven by and by." "But why was I drowned? Why did the ship go down? It was such a beautiful ship, and we were so happy playing about the decks." "You were drowned because Germany is at war with England." "But why should they drown me?" "In an attempt to prove that England does not hold the seas." "But what has that to do with me?" "Nothing, my child. It has nothing to do with you. You are only a helpless victim." "But who drowned us?" "The commander of a submarine." "Is he a very bad man?" "I cannot imagine a good man doing it." "And why can't I find my mother?" "Was she drowned, too?" "I don't know yet."
"Then you don't know everything?"
"No, I don't know everything."
"Are you an angel?"
"No, I am not an angel."
"What are you, then?"
"A man."
"And were you drowned, also?"
"No, I came to the other world more than 3 years ago." The child began to cry.
"Did you suppose that children never cried after death?"
"Dead children often cry."
"Would you not cry at the thought of being drowned, if you woke and could not find your mother?"
"I too could have cried with the child, for I have had children of my own, and one of them died young. Have I been very bad without knowing it, that I should be drowned like this?" asked the little girl.
"No, I do not think that you have been very bad." As we passed across the rough waters, we saw the corpse of a woman floating face upwards in the pale light. The child could see it dimly, though not so well as I. Have you ever seen a living child weeping over the soulless corpse of its mother? If that seems sad to you, would it not seem sadder to see the living soul of a child weeping over the corpse of a mother whose soul was absent? To me it was the most pitiful of all sad sights.
"Come away, little one," I said, "your mother is not here." A little farther on we saw the body of a child also floating face upwards in the pale light. I knew whose body it was, and so did the child.
"Why, it isn't pretty anymore," she said.
"Come away, little one," I repeated, "come and look for the mother." But she seemed held fast by the floating thing in the water.
No, it was not pretty, but the soul beside me was very beautiful for all its sadness.
"What will become of it?" she asked, awestruck.
"I do not know."
"Do you think they will bury it somewhere?"
"If they find it, they will bury it. If we wait to look for them, we may not find the mother. We met many women passing to and fro over the water, mothers looking for their children, wives seeking their husbands, some seeking their own lost forms, others merely passing to and fro in bewilderment and grief. It is very sad to die, said the child. It is not always sad to die, I answered. It is sometimes beautiful to die. Where is the man who drowned us? Why, do you want to see him?
I want him to see me.
He will see you his lifelong in dreams, I said, whether he lives to be old, or dies tomorrow. Coming toward us across the sea was the form of a woman wringing vapory hands. Where is my child? Where is my child? She was saying over and over. Mother, I am here! Cried the little girl, and the two forms melted in a close embrace.
I have found you. I have found you.
The mother and child repeated over and over, as they clung together. I remained near them a little while, for I wanted to help them to free themselves from the sadness of their fate.
Will you not come with me?
I asked them, when they could listen.
But where shall we go?
Away from here. I want to go home, said the child.
We are homeless now, the mother answered, we are in the other world.
Then you also know what has happened?
I asked her.
Oh, yes, I know, I know.
Will you not come away with me?
I repeated.
Are you an angel?
Asked the mother, even as the child had asked. I told her who I was and what I was doing there.
Is there no help for us?
She asked.
It is to help you that I have come.
But where shall we go?
Anywhere, away from here.
As we stood talking together, another woman came toward us looking for a lost child, another child, not hers, came toward us looking for a lost mother. I am willing to tell you that I did not well know what to do with all these stricken souls. Where could I take them for rest or comfort? The whole astral region around the earth is full of sadness and crying. Only the strongest and most resolute souls can get far enough away to escape the gloom and the horror. And these newly arrived ones have not the strength, for you must know that in this world we go where our desires and our thoughts go, and we go with our fears and our griefs. I led the mother and child to another part of the world, and left them with others in the care of two ministering older souls who had given themselves to this sad work. But as one cannot teach a child the differential calculus, so we cannot take to the lofty regions of peace those beings in whose hearts there is no peace. I shall ask the advice of the teacher as to how much I should tell the world of the awful conditions around us. Even the restoration of peace on earth will not immediately purge the astral world of the sores of war. You think that you suffer, and I know better than anyone else how much. But you can escape into the material world, you can walk on the green hills in the sunshine, you can rise occasionally to the place of spiritual calm above the conflict astral and material. These millions of grieving ones cannot go back to the physical, and few of them can yet rise to the spiritual. Their immediate future is a problem for the greatest of the masters, a problem that taxes the wisdom of the masters of wisdom. Hold steady, you for whom there is another day of anxiety not far off. Hold steady, for though you may not realize it, I to whom you look for strength find also strength in you. That is a mystery which I may or may not explain by and by. You are a solid platform from which I can spring, when I need the force of a material base. I shall not overuse it. If you are unable to stand the strain, alone as you are now, you may communicate with my son, but do that only as a last resort. You must learn to stand alone. In my other writing the strain on you was far less, the need of your strength far less. You could not have done then what you are doing now, nor could I have done then what I am doing now. Again I say, hold steady. The wounds, the tortured faces which you see at night, the pitiful appeals for help which you try to answer, are only typical of what we see and try to help, nightly, daily and hourly. I have used the actual substance of your etheric body to build myself an optical instrument, through which I can see into the sunlighted world, your world. You will suffer no injury in the long run for this loan that you have made me.
Have you not pledged yourself to the service of mankind? Mankind are out here as well as in there, and the eyes I have built of your substance have enabled me to do service which otherwise I could not have done. Count that with your good karma. May 13th. Letter XL. The height and the depth. Do not lose faith in the future of the world. Have you not studied the law of rhythm? Do you not know that the height is equal to the depth, and that when things are at their worst they are getting ready to improve? Life moves rapidly in these 20th century days. 1,000 years ago it would have taken a decade to accomplish the horrors of the last 10 months. Perhaps the reconstruction will be equally rapid. Do not lose faith in the future of the world. There are even Germans who repudiate the sinking of the Lusitania. All is not well in that empire, from the standpoint of the empire. Be poised, and await the issue. May 14th. Letter XLI. A conclave of masters. Someday the races of men will return to the love which they have now forgotten. Someday German and English, Italian and Austrian, French and Turkish, will all sit together at the banquet table of life and drink to the health, not to the death, of one another. And that day is not so far distant as the present hate and slaughter would indicate. There is peace after strife, and love after hate, and the sunshine after the storm. Love and hate. To know the one you must have seen the other. Surely I need not tell you this. What did you know of love till you had been hated? Love and hate are the twin-born children of emotion. Someday men will look for their enemies within themselves, someday men will fight the evil in themselves, and then they will not need to slay their brothers. Someday love will re-establish itself upon the pedestal of the world, and hate will return to the shades. I have told you of the evil beings who brought about this war. There are also loving beings who long to do away with war between brother and brother. Tonight in the spaces above the world there is a strange quiet. Is it the quiet before the storm, or the quiet after the storm? It is all rhythmic. Be poised and wait, trusting in God. Some storms clear the air. The present thunder and lightning will clear the air. Yes, the world has been too sultry, and the atmosphere had to be broken. Do not cry out, do not weep, do not laugh. Be quiet, and trust in God. What do I mean by God? Look deep in your heart and see I am that I am. In the childhood of the world men believed in a power beyond themselves. Now in the maturity of the world men believe in a power within and beyond themselves. That is God, I am that I am. Seek the high place of the Spirit and prepare yourself for the service of the world. The Spirit is crucified on the cross of the world. Christ clothes himself in matter that he may raise it. Love wears the garment of hate, that love and hate may become one. What do I mean? Do you not know that love and hate are one thing, the eternal opposites that complete each other? When hate rests, love comes into its own. When love rested, hate came into its own. This night do hate and love unite. Find out my meaning if you can. Look in the glass of visions and find the picture there. The uniting of love and hate. There is a neutral point where the two join hands. There is a council held this night among those who serve the world, a conclave of masters. At what hour, you ask? Go to sleep, and learn the hour. If you are still enough, you may listen at the keyhole. If you are not still enough, you will hear nothing. Do I seem to write strangely tonight? All things are strange tonight, if by strange you mean unusual. Be still, and know that God dwells in the hearts of all men, though in some he lies asleep. For the God in you will sleep until you awake him. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Love your enemies, even when they smite you, for the God is asleep in those who smite with hate. You will never understand your enemy by hating him. You will never understand the masters until the love and hate in you unite. On the declaration of peace your love will flow out again to your enemy. Can you not anticipate the event, and love your enemy tonight? The enemy needs love when he shows least of it. Be still,
and know that the world is the footstool of the spirit. Hate will not serve you. Hate never serves willingly. Remember the words of the man God, forgive them, for they know not what they do.